Welcome to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Welcome to The Watchman's Cry. Now, if you've been listening to our show for any length of time, we are still in our infancy, but I plan to have a lot of discussions, a lot of shows that will be available on my website, and we're going to discuss all the happenings that are going on before our very eyes. Daily, you turn on the TV and you listen to the news. Folks, when I wake up and I turn on the TV and I go to CNN or Fox, which actually I would call faux news because it's fake, but when you look at the cable news channels, it seems that they are in cahoots with one another because they're always talking about the same story. It's amazing. I will go to CNN, and they're talking about Anna Nicole. And then I flip over to Fox, and they're talking about Anna Nicole, and so forth and so on. I wonder if they have meetings behind the scenes and discuss what news they're going to let us have. So if you want the true news, this is a side note. If you want the true news of what's going on, you have to get on the internet. Or if you have a satellite that is able to pick up channels from overseas, you might have to go to different sources other than the cable channels that we are supplied with, because the news that we are supplied with at times will give us an event that happens, but it's sanitized and sterilized and limited on the facts and the points and the events that we are told. I got off on a side note right there. What was I saying? Oh, yes. When I wake up every morning and I go to the internet and start scrolling and browsing, reading the newspaper websites that I like to go to, it's exciting because every day, brethren, every day there's a new story that excites me because we see prophecy in action right now. It excites me, but at the same time as being excited, I kind of feel like I am in a science fiction movie because there's so much happening in world events and it's happening so fast. I find myself with so many emotions as I view the current events. Now, these emotions are totally opposite from one another. They clash with one another, but it's a sobering excitement, I guess would be a good way to put it. I'm excited to see all that is taking place, but sober because I know what the end result is going to be. I know what is going to happen. And I see the arranging of political legislation. I see the arranging of laws, the fulfillment of policies, events that can mean none other than the soon coming return of Jesus Christ. And folks, that's what the bottom line is. Jesus is coming soon, but before he does come, we're going to find ourselves in an era of time that's going to try you. It's going to be challenging for your family. And the whole purpose of my website and this ministry and what I discuss is for us to talk about those things. I want you to know what to expect so that you can prepare for them. A lot of people are not going to be prepared for what is coming upon the land. And unfortunately, by not being prepared, it's going to be fatal. We don't want to walk in darkness. We are not children of darkness. So my whole purpose is to bring light on what's going on. Now, the Bible says that we should be vigilant in all things. The Bible says for us to put on the armor of God. The Bible encourages us and charges us and instructs us to have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, our feet shod with the gospel of peace. There's a lot of parts of the armor of God. And when you consider the helmet of salvation, what does that consist of? What does that mean? Well, it's pretty simple, folks. To have the helmet of salvation means that we think with the mind of Christ. It means that our way of thinking is not a secular point of view. It means that we have a biblical worldview. And to have a biblical worldview means, and that's the other part of the armor, that we have to have control and practice and know how to use the Word of God in order to be a good soldier of Christ. If you call yourself a Christian, you need to know how to handle the Bible. You need to know scriptures. You need to know what it says. If you are a true soldier, you know, imagine a soldier out on the battlefield that's like a little baby and has to be carried around in a stroller or pushed in a stroller. How effective would a soldier be in a war like that? Not being able to handle their weapons? Of course, that's absurd. But in the same way, brethren, if you are a Christian and you call yourself a Christian and you do not know how to handle the weapons of our warfare, then you're a baby. It's time to mature and it's time to stop being a baby. My challenge to everybody listening right now is this. The time for being babies has long passed us. It's time to mature. It's time to get rid of the pacifier and the swaddling clothes. It's time to stop being spoon-fed. That being said, that means there's going to be some effort that God expects from every one of us to learn how to handle and rightly divide the word of truth. So in these discussions we're going to have here in the Watchman's Cry, we need to actually break open the Bible, break bread together, and discuss the things that are going on in Scripture. Now, my calling and my passion is to equip and encourage you, the people of God, for what's coming upon the earth. And I want to share what God has shown me. In order to do that, we are going to have to break bread and really dig deep into the Scriptures to break it open and to learn really how to have a real Bible study. We're not going to have milkshakes here at Watchman's Cry. I don't hand out straws at the door as you walk in to listen to what we're talking about. Unfortunately, that's what is happening at most churches today in America. You know, you have the usher at the front door handing out the bulletins. More and more, I've always said to myself, and I've told this to my wife, you know, instead of that usher handing out bulletins, he should also be handing out straws with the bulletin. Inside, when you open it up, there's a straw, because actually that's what the people are getting. They're getting milk or a little milkshake. That's not what we're going to do. We are going deeper than that, and we're going to study the meat of God's Word. Now, let's move on. In studying what is going to happen in these end times and to become a wise person in these end times, we are going to have to go into areas that we have never gone before. I'm going to challenge you, brethren, to be willing to go into areas you have never gone before in the study of what's going on in these last days. And that's going to take taking some blinders off. There are a lot of Christians today with blinders on. I myself was one of them for many, many years. And most Christians have blinders on to what's going on in the world, even right now. Most of the pastors in America right now also have blinders because they've never gone to the deep things of God, and they're not teaching people the deep things of God. So I want to challenge you with this. As we study what I'm going to share, I want to have this disclaimer, and I want to let you know right up front. And here it is. Some of the things that you're going to hear me say are going to be hard to hear. They're going to be hard to believe, and they're going to be challenging. You might find yourself thinking about a lot of the words that you hear me say at night, or even wake up in the middle of the night thinking about them, or at work the next day. Because the things you're going to hear me say are going to be, in some ways, unbelievable and shocking. But with truth, I'm going to share them with you. And I'm going to prove everything I tell you with the Scriptures. Now, in addition to studying the Scriptures and studying end-time prophecy, we have to also be willing to listen to some information. And then, after you hear me say some things, you check it out yourself. I'm going to leave it in your hands to confirm what you hear me say. I'm going to tell you some things that are going to be so amazing and actually scary that it might be too hard to believe, and you might find yourself not wanting to listen to me anymore because it's just too hard to believe. But that's a normal human response, and I do understand. I understand that to hear truth that you have never considered before, it's not an easy thing to do. Now, as a student of the Bible and of Bible prophecy, the only way to truly understand the events that are happening right now is to compare them to current events. And by doing that, then we can get a more clearer picture of where we are in the world. In order to study the current events that are occurring right now, we have to actually look at the players in these end times. And those players are going to include nations, leaders, politicians, legislation, laws that have been passed, events, and the habits of human beings, what's going on in the church. There are a lot of things that make up the whole picture of end-time study. But in addition to studying the Bible, I'm going to tell you about some events that are happening. There are laws that are being passed right now, brethren, that would shock you if you actually knew what they said and what they spelled out. In fact, I would venture to say this. Since September 11th, 2001, the amount of laws that have been passed not only in the United States, but in the entire world, have changed the entire face of humanity. There are some laws that have been passed in secret, on weekends, late at night, by congressmen here, in Europe, in England, in Australia, in Japan, that would just chill you if you saw what the words of the legislation talked about and included. But the bottom line is this. A lot of individuals today in evangelical churches and a lot of pastors tell us over and over, we're in the end times, brother. Let's get excited because Jesus is about to take us off of the earth. And that is fair to say that because we are in the end times. However, they're stopping halfway with the truth of us being in the end times because there is no pre-tribulation rapture that is going to rescue you. The pre-tribulation rapture teaching that is being promoted and told to most people in churches today is false, brethren. It's erroneous. It does not hold up to biblical scrutiny. Therefore, it's unbiblical. Now, I could hear some people saying, well, I could say the same thing for your point of view. That's true. You could. However, does it stand up to biblical scrutiny? I intend in many, many discussions that are coming in the future to show you that the pre-tribulation teaching is wrong. And to believe in it is fatal. It will be fatal, and it's going to even cause a lot of heartache and pain in people's lives because they believe in it. However, let me go on to what I was trying to say. People in churches hear the message that we are in the end times, and they get excited. Some preachers even say the rapture could happen at any moment today while we're sitting here in church. It could happen right now. And all the people clap and say amen when they hear that. Now, if that is really true, brethren, let's visit that concept just for a moment. If that concept of the pre-tribulation rapture is true and it could happen any moment, including right now, what that means is, according to the timeline of end time teaching, right after the rapture occurs, there is going to be a 7-year tribulation on earth where the events of Revelation will be fulfilled. We've all heard that, and we believe that, correct? Okay, now let's move on from there. If the tribulation were to start tomorrow because the rapture happened today, that would mean that according to the book of Revelation, that the Antichrist would rise up tomorrow. Because according to this pre-tribulation teaching, right after the rapture occurs, the Antichrist is going to take over the world. In addition to that, the beast is going to rise up. We're going to have a one-world government. And in the middle of the tribulation, which would be 3.5 years after the tribulation started, we're going to have the mark of the beast. Now, let's think about that for a second. Ladies and gentlemen, if the rapture happened today and tomorrow the tribulation started, in order for us to have a one-world government tomorrow, what event would cause the entire world to become a dictatorship? Think about that. You see, Christians listen to this teaching, but they don't think about all the other little fine details that have to be a part of that teaching to actually be true. If the tribulation starts tomorrow, that means that the governments of all the world are going to unite together tomorrow to have a one world government. Now, is that just going to happen in a vacuum? Is it going to happen that easy? That all of a sudden, the borders of the entire world are going to be erased into a one world government? Of course it won't be easy. Now, part of the policy or teaching of the pre-tribulation rapture also includes that there will be a great world war right after the rapture. So possibly out of the ashes of World War III, then all the nations of the world will want to unite together because some charismatic individual will rise up and say, allow me to fix the broken pieces of World War III, and all the nations of the world will go right along with it. Now think again. How many of you have neighbors that are Vietnam veterans or that like to go hunting, you know, tough guys, patriotic men, and they tell you there is no way that I would allow the United States to disappear from my cold dead hands. I'll fight the UN to the death. So that is one element that has not really been addressed in the pre-tribulation teaching. Now, I have a different point of view on that entire scenario, and here it is. We are in the last days. The events of Revelation are right around the corner. They're coming like a flood, and we can expect them in our future very soon to begin happening. Where are we in the timeline of the end times? I have said this before on some other discussions, and I've said it on record in some of the articles that I've written on my website. We are in the time of sorrows right now. We're in the book of Matthew chapter 7 and 8. That's where we are. We are at the preliminary part of the end times. The tribulation has not begun yet, but we are in the beginning stages of the tribulation. Now, that being said, my point of view, based on what I see in Scripture, is that the entire church of God, of Christ, God's people, the body of Christ, is dirty, is wrinkled, is filthy, is lukewarm, is lazy, and blind to the things of God. Right now, the church of God would not be welcome into heaven. Right now, the church of God, the bride of Christ, is not ready to be married to Christ. Therefore, in order for the bride to be married to Christ, the bride must be purged. The bride must get rid of her wrinkles. The only way that can happen, brethren, is to go through purging and trials. And that's what we read in the Bible. We read that in the book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 12, it says, many will be purged and tried and made white. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 19, it talks about the bride that has finally made herself ready. Interestingly, a few verses after that statement is mentioned in Revelation 19, we have Jesus returning to earth on a white horse. So, the mention of the church of Christ being made ready and purged and being without spot or wrinkle is not mentioned until the very end of the tribulation. So, folks, the timeline is my message. And the timeline is my warning. And here it is. If we are in the time of sorrows, at some point we are going to change. We're going to go from the time of sorrows into the tribulation period. Is it a year away? Is it 2 years away? 5 years? I do not know, brethren. But right now we are in the time of sorrows. Now, if we're in the time of sorrows and in our future, our very near future, we're going to step into the events of Revelation, here's what's going to happen. The events of Revelation tell us that there will be a one world government. There will be an empire that takes over the entire world, and the Bible refers to this empire as the beast. What is the character of the beast? The character of the beast is something that should bring chills to you, because the beast is going to be controlled by the powers of darkness. The beast is going to be controlled by the most evil, vile forces in the universe. Satan himself will be controlling the beast. He will be the spiritual power behind the beast. And we are going to witness that beast take over the world. We'll be here, brethren. How we deal with that, how we endure through that, will be every person's individual choice. How you endure will be your choice based on how much you have prepared. Now, this beast system that is going to rise up, according to the book of Revelation, is going to be a dictatorship, a police state, where there will be no more freedoms on the earth. It will basically be like a communist dictatorship throughout the whole world. Now, think about that, brethren. That means that we here in America will see America become a dictatorship. That means, brethren, that the Constitution of the United States will no longer be valid. Now, think about that. If the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, get erased in our future, that means an entirely different way of thinking, doesn't it? It means that the freedoms that you have now, to travel freely from state to state, to walk around freely, to not be stopped at various random places when you go to the store, at a checkpoint, those things will occur. Now, folks, let's use logic right here. Let's use reasoning. Let's use the brains that God gave us. If the tribulation were to start next month, let's just say, okay? Let's say we have 30 days before the tribulation period starts. Let's say we have 30 days before we have a one world government taking over the entire world. Just like I was saying before and challenging the theories that a one world government right after a rapture cannot happen in a vacuum, I also maintain that same theory. In order for us to step into a future of a dictatorship, logic says that already the laws are being worked on in the United States. That means legislation has been passed in the United States and in other countries worldwide that would allow a police state to take over. And brethren, when I first started talking on this show, I said it's so exciting, but it's a bittersweet excitement, because I see legislation happening before our very eyes that most Christians are not aware of. It's on the news. It takes a little bit of research. On the internet, it's very easy to find that since 9/11, since that fateful day of 9/11, we have had more laws passed here in the United States. We have had more legislation passed here in America that has erased the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. Since 9/11, there have been more laws passed that take away your freedoms than in all the presidents combined. Did you know that, brethren? Now, for those of you that are a little bit more wiser than the average person, You might already be aware of that. I could give a whole laundry list of the laws that have been passed. I've discussed these laws that have been passed with other Christians, and lo and behold, the majority of Christians that I discuss them with look at me and they say, what do you have to worry about? You're not a terrorist. I'm not a terrorist, so if I don't do anything wrong, why should I worry? That is the attitude of most Christians today. You know, I've had discussions in some home Bible studies that I've had where I teach these end time things to people. And I've asked some of the individuals that come to my Bible study, have you asked your pastor if they are aware of these laws that have passed? And some of the people have told me, yes, actually I was asking my pastor if he's heard of them, and they said, yes. So I asked my pastor, well, how come you haven't been teaching us about it? And the pastor's answer was, well, what can we do about it? We can't stop it. You see there, folks, apathy, that is what's going to bring about the persecution that we see in our future. Getting back to the laws that I was mentioning. Since 9/11 was passed, we have had Patriot Act Part 1. We had Patriot Act Part 2. We had the Military Commission Act passed. We had the John Warner Defense Authorization Act. We had the Health Powers Act. We had the Real ID Act. And I can go on and on and on. All these laws that have been passed basically have erased anyone in America from having rights to what the Constitution spells out. Well, I've never heard of that, brother. What are you talking about? I have never... Oh, really? You haven't? Did you know that there have been thousands and thousands of people already arrested under the Patriot Act for doing things like arguing with their neighbor or having road rage incidents or getting caught with marijuana in their car? They were all accused of being terrorists. Now, according to the Patriot Act, it says in the Patriot Act that the act applies to anyone accused of being a terrorist. In the act, it spells out what a terrorist is. And the definition of a terrorist is so broad that I find it actually humorous. It's almost a joke on how they define a terrorist. But a terrorist, according to the Patriot Act, is anybody that breaks any of the state or federal laws where they live. Anyone that breaks a law is a terrorist. Or there's another definition that says a terrorist is anybody that endangers human life. That's a terrorist. Now, folks, with such a broad definition of a terrorist, anybody can be accused of being a terrorist. Anybody. Now, those of you who have lived comfortably in a bubble might not know anybody that has been convicted under these laws. But, brethren, let me tell you, there are a host of citizens that have been accused and convicted under the Patriot Act for things that have nothing to do with terrorism. Under our great, beloved Christian president, George W. Bush. We also have in some of the laws that have passed the Military Commissions Act, which basically says that anybody that is accused of being an enemy combatant can be arrested without charge, without warrant, taken away to an undisclosed location, and held indefinitely until they are seen by a military tribunal that has been formed in the United States to see them. Now, to be accused as an enemy combatant is also a broad term because Homeland Security has an 800 number where any neighbor can call the 800 number and say their neighbor is kind of suspicious and they need to check it out. There have been many stories about that also, brethren, where all of a sudden at 3 in the morning, some people in black ski masks that look like stormtroopers will pull in front of somebody's house and rush and knock the door down, drag them out of their bed where they're asleep, and drag them away, never to be seen from again. That has happened already. It is happening. All it takes is to be accused as an enemy combatant. Now, brethren, let me ask you this. According to the Constitution, it says we are innocent until proven guilty. Well, thanks to this beautiful law that came out now, you are guilty until they see fit to review your case. By the way, who reviews the case? It says a military tribunal reviews your case. A tribunal of generals sitting behind a desk after the accused, a year later, comes to them in shackles and stands in front of their desk with three or four military individuals, listen to your case, and then they decide your fate. Now, that sounds a lot like what China does right now, doesn't it? It sounds a lot like what the communist Soviet Union used to do. That exists right now, brethren. How many of you knew that? And then, we also have the passage of the law called the John Warner Defense Authorization Act, which effectively erases the restriction of military being used against citizens in the United States. It's called the Posse Comitatus Act, which is that act states that politicians cannot use the military against American citizens. It effectively makes us a police state where you have the military now allowed to police its citizens. That happened 2 years ago. Very, very interesting. October 2006, I believe, is when it was passed. October 17th or October 18th, I believe. And I can go on and on and on, brethren. We have the president signing directives that, by the way, need no congressional approval, no congressional oversight, no congressional discussion. He just passed them with a stroke of a pen, directives that effectively state a lot of other laws now that have turned us into a police state. NSA spying. How many of you knew that if you have a phone and you talk on a phone, every phone call is listened to now in the United States? They're listening to you. How many of you knew that? How many of you are aware that there are supercomputers that were once used to listen to the Soviet Union, the KGB spies during the communist era, during the Cold War? How many of you knew that that technology existed? And now that there is no more Cold War, how many of you are aware that that technology and the resources from that technology, the computers, are now used to listen to every phone call in America? It's called echelon. If you don't believe me, Google it. The word echelon. Or carnivore. There are several words that are used, but together with Interpol, Europe and the United States now listen to phone calls. That's been established. Dateline NBC, ABC News has talked about that now. These supercomputers listen to phone calls automatically, and they are probing when the computer hears certain keywords. There's, I believe, 500 in its library, like the word bomb, or the word terrorist, or the word 9/11, or President Bush. If the computer hears keywords, then it makes that phone call go to the top of the list. And if it hears enough terms like that come from the same phone number, then a live listener that works for the NSA will start monitoring the phone calls. Now that's going on right now, brethren. Right now in the land of the free, home of the brave, your phone calls are listened to. It has come out already that AT&T was forced to hand over all the records of its customers. How many of you are aware of that? That's not a conspiracy theory. That was on regular news. If you don't believe that one, Google it. I could go on. At the beginning of 2007, which was a year and 5 months ago, the stamp price in America was raised to 41 cents. How many of you remember that? Well, President Bush signed an act that allowed the stamps to go up in January of 2007 to 41 cents. When he signed the act that raised the price of stamps, he wrote in a signing statement in that act, which basically said this: in addition to the stamps being 41 cents, the government of the United States can also open mail without a warrant if we see fit. If we suspect enemy activity, if we suspect terrorist activity, we can read your mail. Now, President Bush basically signed his name to this law, and then he added that signing statement. Now, think about that, brethren. Congress passed the wording of this law. The Senate then approved it, and then it went to the desk of our beloved Christian president, George W. Bush, where he signed it. But then he added a king's mandate. He added that we can also open your mail. That's on record. Go to whitehouse.gov and look at that directive. It was passed in January 2007. I'm sorry, not a directive, that act. But everything I'm telling you is documented, brethren. Most of the people in churches today are not aware that all of these laws have been passed in America. And I could go on and on and on. There is a law that says if there is an epidemic in a city in America, whether it's caused by a terrorist attack or some mad scientist opens a vial in the bus stop and people start getting sick, then we will go under martial law and the National Guard will come out and every citizen will be forced to take a vaccine to combat whatever the attack might be. If any citizen resists taking the vaccine, they can be sent to internment camps indefinitely to keep them quarantined. Now, I can hear some people saying, well, what is wrong with giving people a quarantine who don't want to take the vaccine if the government tells us we need to take the vaccine? Well, brethren, let me put it like this. If you study the history of vaccines and you study the side effects of vaccines and you study where actually vaccines caused epidemic, death, and mayhem, you would probably have a different opinion. As an example, the 1917 Spanish influenza during World War I, where soldiers were vaccinated, historians can go back now and scientists have had to admit that that vaccine for the Spanish flu, it is what actually caused most people getting the Spanish flu. And we had millions of people that died during that time of the Spanish flu. It was a horrible time. And then we have also had doctors admit that the smallpox vaccine is the most dangerous vaccine known to man because of all the side effects that it causes. So if we have an attack that has to do with a biological agent that has been released, and the government says that they have the remedy, brethren, don't always believe what you hear. I know that sounds very distrusting and cynical, but history has proven over and over that we cannot always just go by what we hear. We have a lot of soldiers that are coming back from Iraq right now that were forcibly made to take the anthrax vaccine, who had a lot of bad side effects, and some of them are disabled permanently, and some have actually died from taking the anthrax vaccine. If you don't believe what I'm saying, Google the Spanish flu vaccine, Google the smallpox vaccine, Google the anthrax vaccine of Iraqi soldiers, and you will see that science is not always infallible. So I'm just giving an example of why these laws are not in our best interest. And again, I can go on and on and on. The Real ID Act, passed in 2005, which mandates that every state must switch the way that they issue driver's licenses to the residents of each state. There has to be a common bond between each driver's license in every state, which includes biometric identifiers in the driver's license, and also some RFID identifiers or chips in the driver's license. What is an RFID chip, you might ask? That's that little chip that is embedded, that can be embedded in pretty much anything. As an example, they put it in items at the store, and that's why the beeper goes off when people try to steal things at Walmart or at Best Buy. The beeper goes off. That's because the items have an RFID chip embedded in them. Well, the driver's license in the Real ID Act will also have this identifier. That's coming, brethren. By the way, the deadline for that was 2008, this year, but our beloved gracious leader of Homeland Security, Mr. Chertoff, gave us an extension for that to happen because so many states are scrambling or some of them are resisting. And then we have the Animal ID Act, which was also passed in 2005, which, by the way, right now is in force, which basically says any individual, farmer, or person that has fowl or farm animals, cows, sheep, horses, pigs, etc., must insert an RFID verichip identifier inside their animals. You need to chip your animals right now. That law has been passed. There have been children who are part of 4-H that have entered their animals in competition who were rejected and the animals were sent home or their trophies and prizes were annulled and taken away from them because their animal did not have verichip identifier in them. The animal didn't have the mark of the beast, so you don't get to win. That has happened also, brethren. How many of you have heard that story? So the mark of the beast is enforced with farm animals so far. You know, some of the most innocent people left in this country with integrity and hard working, the teenagers that want to be involved in 4-H, are now being penalized for not giving the mark of the beast to their animals. And by the way, I do call it the mark of the beast because that's what it is. And already these chips that are being forced into animals are now being forced into humans. Now, in the news, this just happened a few weeks ago, the entire police force in London has been forced, the law came out, over 40,000 UK policemen have been told that they need to all be chipped. They are going to all be inserted with a chip, the verichip. Mandatory or lose your job. That is documented, that's news, folks. Now, how many of you were told by your pastors that that's going on? How many of you have been warned by your pastors, brethren, ladies and gentlemen, saints of God, we are living in strange days because the mark of the beast is being forced on the UK policemen right now. How many of you were told that? And these laws that I have already mentioned to you, how many of you have been told about them? I suspect very few. These laws are passing worldwide. Now, here's the interesting thing that I find alarming. The Real ID Act was passed in 2005 and it was scheduled to become in force in 2008 here in America. Here's the interesting part of that legislation. India passed a similar law around the same time, 2005, and they started forcing all of their citizens to also comply and get a national ID card, just like ours is. It's a national ID card. India has already started it. They started it last year. A national ID card for all Indians. That's over 1 billion people, brethren. In addition to India, we have China also starting this year, 2008, forcing every one of their citizens to get a national ID card with the same identifiers in it. That's 2008 also. That's over a billion people there. So between those two countries, we have over 2 billion people of the world, which is almost 30% of the world's population, already one-third forced to have national ID cards. On top of that, we have Australia that passed the legislation, and they're going to be forcing all their citizens to get their card in the next 1 or 2 years. That's Australia. And then right now, the European Union is working on similar legislation. They're working that out, all the citizens of Europe to also get a national ID card. Now, brethren, think about that. Why were all of these countries putting the deadline 2008 to start forcing their citizens to have a national ID card? That's the question I asked myself. How could it be that all of these nations had a similar deadline? The next thing I asked myself was, did they actually call each other on the phone and meet in a smoke-filled room with cigars, and they discussed amongst themselves, okay, we're going to cause the worldwide national ID card to happen in 2008. Every one of you guys go back to your home country and make sure these laws all pass. Do you think they did that? But here's what I think is going on. It says in the book of Revelation that the kings of the earth all had one mind, and they came together with one mind to give their power to the beast. That being said, according to that verse in Revelation 17, if all the kings of the earth are working together, that means there's a spiritual force behind all of this legislation that is happening right now. That means that the leaders of the world, even without talking to each other, are listening to a higher power. Think about that, brethren. All the leaders of the world, the kings of the earth, right now are listening to the words, the whispers of demonic forces that are telling them what to do. And we see those laws being passed right now. Now, brethren, that is why I submit to you right now, in order for us to step into the tribulation period tomorrow, and in order for us to step into a police state tomorrow, we have to already have legislation, and we have to already have a foundation of laws that will erase the freedoms of every Western and freedom-loving country in this world. Those laws have to exist already, and brethren, I submit to you right now that those laws do exist. And it was all started after 9/11. Under the excuse of the war on terror. Now, here's something else I want to submit to you. We've always been told by the scholarly Bible teachers that have their own theories that are traditions of man. We've been told that the Antichrist is going to sign a peace treaty with Israel, and it's all about peace, and through some peace treaty with Israel, that's what's going to bring about his role to take over the earth. Now, brethren, I submit to you that that theory is wrong. It's not true. People are misreading the meaning of that. In Daniel, it says, by peace, he will destroy many. By peace, he will destroy many. Talking about the world leader in the end times. We see that happening right now, brethren. The war on terror is a war against an unnamed person. It's a war against an unnamed country. It's a war against an entity that has no face. The war on terror is against leaders and people that have no face. And when you think about it, it's kind of absurd. The war on terror is against a faceless enemy. So it's a brilliant plan that Satan used to basically erase the freedoms of the entire world. Now, on paper, it sounds good. On paper, the war on terror sounds like a great thing because it's going to keep us safe, right? If you invent an enemy, people will flock and they'll turn in anything that they need to turn in to the powers that be and to the government. To keep them safe, they will gladly cooperate. And that's what we see happening today, brethren. We see the war on terror causing all the citizens of the world to gladly give up their freedoms to keep themselves safe. Now, Benjamin Franklin said an interesting thing. He said, those that are willing to give up their freedoms for security deserve neither. And that's what we have happening right now, brethren. Americans who mean well, you have these good Christian Americans who really want to do the right thing, have walked right into the trap of Satan, and they have not questioned anything that is going on in this world because there was a bad man that hurt us, so we don't want that bad man to hurt us anymore, so yes, go ahead and search my luggage when I'm at the airport. Go ahead and make me take off my shoes and look inside my shoes. Go ahead and look inside my purse when I want to go to the baseball game. Go ahead and look at me as I walk through the camera at the airport that looks at me naked. It's okay if you look at me naked when I walk through in front of the camera because you're keeping me safe. You know, people have walked right into this trap to give up their freedoms. Think about that, brethren. You know, there are stories now coming out. There are actual cameras in public school bathrooms all across this country that have been placed in there to fight the war on school violence and to fight school shootings and to fight the war on terror. There's a lot of excuses for it, but basically what we have is cameras in girls' bathrooms that are allowed to look at your daughters or your sons in their most private moment. Now, how do you feel about that? If you don't believe that that is true, by the way, brethren, Google it. Cameras in school bathrooms. When parents found out about some of these things happening and they resisted and went to the school boards, they were basically shied away and shunned. This is for safety. The principals were not deposed. The principals were not rebuked by any of this activity because it's to keep us safe. So over and over and over, under the guise of safety and security, what does the Bible say? By peace, he will destroy many. And then we look at the New Testament, and what does it say? When everyone is saying peace and safety, sudden destruction will come upon them. I submit to you that these verses that talk about peace or peace and safety have nothing to do with a peace treaty in Israel. They have nothing to do with a covenant of an Antichrist individual. They have to do more accurately with what's going on right now, and we're witnessing it right now. Now, when I started this discussion, I told you that some of the things that I have uncovered are so shocking and so hard to believe that it would make you lie awake at night. It would make you just think about these things as you're driving to work or the next day, that you won't be able to get them out of your mind. Folks, I'm just getting started. The plans that the powers of be have for your future have been documented, they've been published, and they are on the internet. They are easy to find. The United Nations has had meetings. They've had minutes of their meetings. They've discussed what their plans are, and you're easily able to find and read what they have planned. There are some plans that the elite have that are horrible, evil, and disgusting, immoral, shocking, paralyzing on what they have planned, folks. But what does it say in the Bible? It says the wrath of Satan would be upon the earth during this time. The wrath of Satan. Now, I've heard some Christians say we're not going to be on the earth because God has not appointed us to wrath. That's true. But we have two periods of time coming during the tribulation period. We have the wrath of Satan happening first, and then at the very end of the tribulation period, and it starts in Revelation 15, we have the wrath of God. We will not see the wrath of God, brethren, but the wrath of Satan is necessary to purge the church. And the wrath of Satan is so horrible, brethren, that it's going to take several broadcasts, several shows, and discussions for me to share with you. But brethren, we need to get prepared because these things are unfolding right now before our very eyes. There are plans right now in the works to bring war upon the earth. There are people in this world that love war because it means profits for them. It has already been established and documented that the war in Iraq, this quagmire that we find ourselves in, has lined the pockets of a lot of insiders in Washington. We've already established that by just reading the news. I'm sure you've already heard about all the billions of dollars going out to no-bid contracts of Halliburton, Dick Cheney's company, Kellogg Brown and Root, the mercenaries, the private contractors that are in Iraq. Many people are growing very wealthy because of this war, and that's just the beginning. There are individuals that want more war to make themselves richer. There are rumors right now that the war in Iran is not off the table. Bush only has a few months left, but there are rumors, and I cannot either deny or confirm this rumor, but there is a rumor that before Bush leaves office, he wants his war with Iran, that it's going to happen. Now, the blowback, the ramifications of a war with Iran, I can't even imagine. I cannot even fathom what that's going to do to the world economy, what it's going to do to the price of oil, to the gasoline you put in your car, and to the recession that we are already in. Is that what's going to throw us into the future depression? I don't know. But if there is a war with Iran, folks, even more so the reason to be prepared now. Now, the rumor is this war is coming by the end of this year, so that doesn't give us much time to prepare. We have to get prepared, brethren. We have to prepare spiritually. We have to get strong spiritually. We have to improve our prayer life. You need to get full of the Word of God. You need to study Scripture like you've never done it before, my friends. You need to. You need to get stronger because the days will come, brethren. The days are coming where your lifestyle, as it is right now, is going to be completely gone. I know those are strong words, but the house you live in, the car you drive, the possessions that you own may be gone in just a few months or next year. They may be gone. You might lose your job, your pension, your 401k. It might be gone. And from some of the reports that I am seeing on the internet, there are many experts right now that aren't even Christians that are forecasting this. So, in addition to what the experts are saying, I'm listening to the voice of God, and this watchman has heard the voice of God saying to prepare. We need to prepare, brethren. So, that is what I wanted to share with you today. This was not an easy discussion to listen to, but I need to lay it on the table. In some future discussions, we're going to go into the exact scriptures that are discussing the end times and what we have to look forward to. All right? Brethren, do not lose hope. God has not given us a spirit of fear. We need to have the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. A sound mind, brethren. Okay? That means the mind of Christ, the helmet of salvation. And the only way we can do that, brethren, is to get full of the Word of God, to devour and be a sponge of the Scriptures. We have to do that, brethren. All right? Okay, well, again, brethren, thanks for listening. A lot of discussions are going to be coming in the future. I invite you to tell your friends about this website. Tell your friends to download these discussions that you have heard me say. Download it yourself. Save it as a podcast. Put it on your flash drive. Take it to work. Share it with your friends. Brethren, we need to spread this word to prepare for the coming of these hard times that are coming in our future. Also, I want to leave you with this, brethren. I ask you to please pray about supporting this ministry. Take it to God. I really, really need your support. This is a very small ministry. It is not funded by anyone other than myself. I am a father with a family and some children, and it's a small ministry, so I would love your support. Can you pray to God? If He does lead you to support, go to our website and go to the link to donate. And thank you for coming. Keep coming back. I'm going to have a lot of links on the news that is happening. There's a few stories I'm going to be placing up about the earthquake in China and about the Burma cyclone and other events that are taking place on this earth. So God bless you. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time.